about our study. And we started it, for those of you that were here last, at the end of last semester, we did the what we call the prison epistles of Paul. So we did Philippians, and then we went into Ephesians. And they're both letters, and we learned that one thing about Paul's letters is they are just letters. And most of them are addressing a specific subject. And so sometimes we can get cross with Paul because he doesn't cover everything. It's not like he's writing a dissertation on covering everything that could be possibly be covered, or, you know, exploring every single aspect of something. So when you read Paul, just remember, it's just a letter. You know, he's just writing for a specific, to a, usually to specific people about a specific subject. So in this letter to the Ephesians, which is such a beautiful letter, if you weren't here, I highly recommend that you read the whole letter. It's just beautiful. It's only 6 chapters. We covered it, but now we're going to take a deep dive into the last chapter, because the last chapter talks about a true empowering, it's a beautiful and empowering teaching, and it's how to put on the full armor of God, which is what Paul calls it, the full armor of God. And he tells us, we're going to read, but he tells us that, believe it or not, it's not just the things that we see, you know, touch, feel, hear on planet Earth that cause us troubles, but that there really is an unseen force. And, you know, when we talk about this, a lot of times people go, ooh, I don't like supernatural, because you think supernatural is always bad. Supernatural is also good. God himself is supernatural, and the word means above the natural. So if you're here and you're reading the Word of God, believe it or not, you're already having a supernatural experience, because you're encountering the living God in the liturgy of the Word, in the actual spoken Word. And so what we're going to be talking about then is the negative spiritual forces, but how we can combat them. And the great news is this: God is infinitely more powerful. He is infinitely more victorious. And the enemy, even Satan himself, was a created being. And God is creator. So there's no comparison, you know. And so we don't need to fear, because he just really uses sort of lies, because he's the father of lies, to deceive us or discourage us. And so this is why the full armor of God, the way that Paul lays it out, is so important, because really the first thing we're going to learn about is truth. And we all know it's the truth that sets us free. So last time I got about halfway through what I wanted to say. So I'm super excited that I get to go through everything that I want to say today, maybe. And then next week, Tiffany Clark, you're going to get Tiffany Clark, who's awesome. She's the new pastoral lay minister at Christ Church in Georgetown. She's going to teach the next 2 lessons. So I really hope you'll come. You'll get her. Then you'll get me a little bit. Then you're going to get fabulous Margaret. Then you're going to get fabulous Noni. So we have a really great lineup. So I'm very excited about this whole semester. So come every week, because I don't think you're going to want to miss it at all. So here we go. And also, just as an aside, if you want another really good book to read other than doing your homework, this is an oldie but a goodie. This book is called The Stronghold of God by Francis Frangipani. It is a really, really powerful, good book. I'm rereading it for I don't know how many times, but it is just such a good book. The Lord put it on my heart, and I'm so glad that he did, to read it. So it is just really, really good. And next week, you're going to be talking about God as our stronghold. And so if you got this, even if you just sort of did a quick glance at it, then went back and sort of did a deep dive in it, I think you'd really, really enjoy it. So it's Francis Frangipani, The Stronghold of God, and you can pick it up. And she'll pass it around. Okay, and I also hope that you'll stay for small group today. Sharon and I will be leading the small groups, and we have some really a powerful passage that we're going to go over that's very life applicable, so I hope that you'll stay for that too. All right, so in Ephesians 6, we read that Paul writes this. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God." And so the enemy of our soul is what the Bible calls the devil. And he does whisper lies and doubts into our mind. Now, if you're in this room, I would be willing to bet his number one goal is not to get you to not believe in God. Because you probably believe in God if you're here. His number one goal is to distance you from God. Because if he can distance you from God, then he can manage to just put all of these little wedges, you know, and he's got your whole life to work on you. So it doesn't have to be a big one-time wham, which is what I have found true. Because in my heart, I want to please God, right? I mean, usually. So what does he do? He really does everything he can for a subtle drift. Just a little. Just this. Just, you know what, just sleep in. You don't need to get up and read your Bible today. You know, or, no, you know what, it's raining. It's cold outside. Why? You don't need to go to church. You know, you don't really need to go to church. You know, I mean, so he'll just put these little things, whatever he can do, as best he can, just by just subtly drifting, all right? So that's the number one thing, is to be aware of the enemy's tactics in your life, because we're all different, and he knows how to work on you in your little sweet spot, all right, whatever that might be. And anyway, I won't go into it, but you can think about that. How is it, just ask yourself this question, how is it in my own life that the enemy works to try to just distance me a little bit from God, you know, put those doubts or whatever. So we have to be on our guard against the powers of darkness and the lies and the schemes of the enemy. You know, the other way that the enemy really works on us to distance us is he, I don't know about you, but as y'all know, I wrote a book. I'm a natural born worrier, and I come by it by complete, I was born into it. Ask my mom. My dad, we called him Noah. He had two of everything. He had a backup plan for his backup plan, you know, and you could never tell him, he did not have enough what ifs to cover every situation, because he could think of a million things. So the enemy will bring all of these worries, all of these anxieties, all of these concerns on us, and they tend to grow and feed and get bigger and bigger as the enemy works on us, because he works through lies. And the number one lie then is not just, you know, to distance us, but for us to believe that God is not bigger than our situation. So just think for a minute, what worries or anxieties do you have right now that you have put above God and his abilities and his power and who he is and what he can do? So the enemy is very good at flipping the order of God being up here and everything else being down here to, oops, these things are just so big and looming and important, and suddenly God takes the back seat, all right? So we have to learn to stand firm, and that's what putting on the full armor of God will help us to do, to remember God's promises and who he is and what he does and what he can do. So here's what it says. So we have to overcome and learn to trust in God. So Paul writes in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole, which I talked to you before, means adequate or impressive. I love that. Put on the impressive armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So I think I've told you all this before, but I used to think that good and evil were kind of equal, and they were, you know, it was like yin and yang symbol, you know, and they were just somewhere duking it out, you know, and I don't know where they were exactly. But the truth is that is not true. God, as I said, is infinitely more powerful. And the battle is here. The battle is here. So that is why one of our tools that we're going to have, which that our armor is going to be our helmet of salvation, so that we can get our thinking straight. All right? So don't forget, there is no contest. God is always bigger. And God always can win against the enemy. All right? And he gives us the power and the means to stand firm against the enemy. And we have to put on this full armor. So here's what he goes on to say. Paul writes in Ephesians 13 and on. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil days, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. All right? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given in the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, if we know all of this, believe it or not, we still can, in our human weakness and frailty, get knocked around by the world. I know it. Every morning, I make a conscious effort to try to literally verbalize out loud, putting on the full armor of God, and then I can walk outside my door, you know, and get knocked around. Even in that, we have to stay plugged into the power source. We have to stay plugged into the power source. And that's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Remember, remember, remember. God is bigger. God is 100% for us. You know, because, and I've spoken about this before, but you know, in the human sight, human beings, we have three parts. We have emotions that are to inform our reason, and then we're to act on it with our will. And what happens is when we let our emotions run away and become the driving engine, the driving force, instead of them informing our reason, it gets flipped. And then we act out of our emotions instead of out of our reason. So putting on the full armor of God can help us to keep that in the right order. Emotions, informing reason, and acting as an act of the will by the grace and strength of God. All right? So what we have to remember also is that God is not only 100% for us, he lives in us. Isn't that awesome? So he actually enables us to do what he says. He doesn't just say, here, do it, good luck with that. He actually, by an efficacious grace, through our prayer, through, as we say, staying connected to him, he enables us to be able to do what we're going to be talking about. So we need to also be aware then that in our life, as we go through life, that there is a spiritual component in what we do and how we act and how we be. And I read this to you last time and everybody loved it so much, she said, read it again. So I'm just going to read it for those that maybe want to read it, hear it again, or hear it for the very first time. And it's from Father Jacques Philippe in his book, Searching and Maintaining Peace. And it says this, searching for and maintaining peace. He says this, every Christian must be thoroughly convinced that his spiritual life can in no way be viewed as the quiet unfolding of an inconsequential life without any problems. Rather, it must be viewed as the scene of a constant and sometimes painful battle, which will not end until death. A struggle against evil, temptation, and the sin that is in him. This combat is inevitable, but it is to be understood, I love this, as an extremely positive reality. Because as St. Catherine of Siena says, without war there is no peace, without combat there is no victory, and this combat is correctly viewed the place of our purification, of our spiritual growth, where we learn to know ourselves and our weakness, and to know God in his infinite mercy. This combat is the definitive place of our transfiguration and glorification. Isn't that beautiful? So, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a personal story, and then I'll continue with our six pieces of armor we're going to talk about quickly. And it is this. I have struggled a lot with needing to feel like I needed to be perfect in order for God to love me. And actually, not just for God to love me, for others to love me. And I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But you think, well, if they really knew what's going on in here, the room would empty, you know. And I don't know about you, but I pray not to do this, but I can remember Betsy using this analogy, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's me. Do you remember the Terminator, when he could look at things and this little screen would come up in his eyes and he could sort of sum everything up just like that? I sometimes do that with people. Like, I'd look at somebody and go, oh, yeah, and this quick judgment would come up, you know? And so I realized, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm not as good as I would like to be or that I think that I am. And so it was very hard for me to go into a fully, how should I say, naked and exposed before the Lord, because I thought he was going to see all my spiritual cellulite and go, yipes, yipes. But guess what? That's not what God does at all. We can come as we are. We can come just as we are. And these battles, these struggles that we have that he's talking about here, the amazing thing is, if we can learn to know our weaknesses and to know God loves us in spite of them, and even, I think, is drawn to us because of them. How many of you have a child, you don't have to raise your hand, but has a specific, maybe, weakness? Maybe they don't read quite as fast as the rest of them, or struggles in a certain area. Are you as a mother repelled by that child? Or are you drawn to that child because of that weakness? I'd be willing to bet that you protect that child and you love that child and you pour into that child because of that weakness. All right. We know that God is infinitely more merciful, more kind, more loving than we are. How do you think God feels about you? Can you take that weakness, that this battle, when we fall, when we fail, when we struggle, can you take that weakness to God and say, help? You're my only help. Instead of trying to hide it, remember Adam and Eve, how they covered themselves with their fig leaves? What a poor choice of covering, wouldn't you say? God said, that's such a poor choice of covering. I'm going to actually give you something fuzzy and warm instead of fuzzy and itchy. And so that's where we see the first sacrifice, blood sacrifice. Innocence had to die because of man's sin to make a covering. The very beautiful picture, very graphic picture, that an animal had to die to cover their exposure, their nakedness, their sin. Of course, it's foreshadowing Christ, right? The Lamb of God. So, what I'm trying to say is, what Father Jacques Philippe says here, is when you have this struggle and you fail, instead of running from God, run to God in your miserableness and ask him to help you. And the good thing is, he will. He forgives us. And the mark of a true mature Christian is how fast you can do it. Not how long you can deny it and try to cover it up, but how fast you realize, oh, blew it. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. And then, guess what? Forgiveness, get back on the horse and start riding. Because what did I say the number one tactic of the devil is? To distance you from God. Distance you. Not make you not believe in him, but to distance you from him. What does the devil hate more than anything? Repentance. You know, we think that if we've wandered far from God, that we're going to have to repent and we're going to have to turn around and we're going to have to wander far back to God.
Guess what? That's what the enemy says. That's worldly thinking. Guess where God is? You turn around and he is right. He's right there. He's been there all along. He never left. You turned your back when you sinned. Just turn around. That's a very important lesson that Father teaches in this book. And then the last line, this combat is the definitive place of our transfiguration. When we realize that we can take our wounded, sinful self and place it in the hands of the merciful, loving God. And then he says, glorification. Because when we do, we are living in glory land with our lovely Lord, right? Our glorified Lord. Okay, so lesson number one, enemy wants to distance us, but even through our struggles, I just love God. He's so clever. Only God could turn our struggles, our weakness, and our failure into something that brings us closer to him. Isn't that amazing? When we turn from it, we can grow through it. We can be transformed and ask the Lord to come in and fill us and make us the people that he wants us to be. All right. But the Lord knows we're not strong enough to do all of this in our own selves. So we in our own selves are not strong enough to withstand the attacks of the enemy, of our soul, but we were never intended to go alone. That's why he gives us this full armor of God. Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ says, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right, so God is 100% for us. The devil is 100% against us. So we put on this full armor of light. Now, what exactly is this full armor light? All right, so Tiffany's going to talk about the belt of truth. First, she's going to talk about the stronghold of God, being standing strong in the Lord. And then she's going to talk about the belt of truth. And I really love, and I told y'all this last time, I really think of it as the Spanx of truth, right? Because it's really your girdle. You know, it's what holds you upright, right? So just think in the morning, no joke, when you put your undergarments on, that is the first thing, all right? Truth. You need to be upheld and held in by truth. All right, so just gird your loins, girls, with the belt of truth. And that is really his love and knowing his love and his mercy and his goodness and his truth and all that's in the Word of God. So the ancients used to believe that all life source flowed from your belly. And so that's why they would put this belt to guard where the life source flowed. So if we know the truth, what does the truth do?
It sets us free.
How many here want to be free? Yes. And the scripture says, he who the Son has made free is free indeed. All right. So now, Jesus is merciful and kind, right? And the devil's name, it's Diablos, which means the divider. The divider. What did I say his number one tactic is?
Separate
us from God. Diablos, the divider. Now, not only for God, but also from each other, right? So I just want you to think for 1 second, what was the last argument you had with somebody? Can you think of it? Maybe some of you don't argue at all. But I can think of it. All right. I want you to just, for 1 second, picture this. And this is a statement that Heidi used to say all the time, and I loved it. The enemy is my enemy, not my spouse, not the person I'm having this argument with, not my child, not whoever's causing you to lose your peace, you should say. The enemy is my enemy, not my fill in the blank. I hope that whatever that argument is, maybe that can put it in a new light. Because the enemy will do everything not only to distance us from God, but distance us from each other. And especially those in your own family. Especially. Right? So, we must remember that merciful, kind Jesus is greater. And we forgive, not necessarily because the first person deserves it. Because I can think of quite a few people that are on my naughty list, like Santa. I don't know about you. But you have to forgive them, not because they deserve it, but because you yourself have been greatly forgiven. You yourself have been greatly forgiven. We have received, if we receive the forgiveness of Christ, which is a grace, we don't deserve it, right? We haven't done anything worthy of Christ dying for us and giving us forgiveness from the cross by his blood that made atonement for us. That's grace. So when others sin against us, you have to remember, Jesus died for them too. That same grace that was appropriated for you is for them as well. And we can pass on. He died for all sin, so we must forgive, all right? So his love and his mercy go greater than all of our sin and all of their sin. So ask the Lord to help you to pass on the grace. So Jesus is the truth and the way and the life, and in him is plenteous redemption and forgiveness. All right, so God is good, all right? So here's a second little quote by Father Jacques Philippe, which is great. Jesus does not forgive us, right? He does make us better, but he doesn't love us because we're getting better. He loves you where you are and how you are. And he will do his very best. That word perfect, because it says be perfect as God is perfect, I think that throws a lot of people off. It means mature. It means fully developed. So he wants us to be fully developed, all right? And Father Jacques Philippe says this, being perfect does not mean that we have or must vanquish all our faults, never succumb to temptation, have no more weaknesses or shortcomings, because if you do, you will surely be vanquished by the enemy, because who among us can never fail? So God isn't asking us to be completely perfect in that way, because he can't demand that of us, because he knows that our weakness and he knows that we're but dust. But he does want to enable us little by little to grow in holiness, to grow in maturity. And I love part of this book that book right there. One of the things he says is sometimes we put greater expectations on ourselves than God does. And so ask the Lord to help you have reasonable expectations for yourself, but to be able to grow in holiness and in the power of God. All right, so the first one is the belt of truth. We need to know that. Then this breastplate of righteousness, which will help us. It says righteousness again. So Peter Williamson is a theologian, and he says this: to arm ourselves with the proper equipment, each of these pieces represents an attitude or a practice that will enable Christians to prevail in the spiritual battle. So we're going to learn how to put on righteousness, which this breastplate, what does that protect?
The heart.
Our heart. It will protect our heart. And hopefully our heart can be made a little more stalwart and strong when we put on this breastplate of righteousness. And we're going to learn how to guard our heart through this, all right? So we won't be fooled by the enemy, because again, his tactics are lies. And then we're going to go then after that, we're going to go from the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, to learn to guard our hearts and to protect our hearts. Then we're going to have our feet shod with the equipment of the gospel of peace. And I love this one. So do y'all remember not long ago, a few years ago, everybody had those gladiator sandals, mm-hmm. gladiator boots, all right? So do you remember what they looked like?
Mm-hmm.
They were
strappy.
They were strappy and they were big. But the cool thing about them is the sandal that was, it was a half boot, and it wasn't to shield their feet, because did you notice how they were strappy? So they didn't really shield their feet from blows, but it was the soles that were so heavy. They were really strapped on for these big heavy soles, so, and they had spikes in the bottom so that they could go the distance. They could run up mountains. They could do all kinds of crazy things in them. Why? Because the bottom, their soles were completely covered with this heavy-duty armor on the soles of their feet. And so that's the idea, that where our soles are covered. Isn't that cool? And so the idea is that our feet are shod with this beautiful gospel of peace that will help us to go the distance. And I don't have to tell you, I'm sure y'all all know, that most disease is caused by anxiety, stress, worry, all of these hypertension, you know, everything sort of comes down to our lack of peace. So if you want to go the distance in life, physically, mentally, spiritually, we need to learn to stand shod in the gospel of peace, even when the world is falling apart around us. How do we do that? We're going to learn how to do that. And it's through trusting in God and having our feet, knowing what God says in the Gospels. All right, so we want to go the distance, all right, what God says. And then going the distance, the next thing that we're going to learn about is this shield of faith. So the shield of faith, taking the shield of faith is a... the shield that we're going to learn about is, it was as big as a door. It wasn't just this little bitty thing, but it's as big as a door that they could hide behind completely. And the way they were made is amazing. They were wood with a linen and then a leather covering, and then they would soak them in water. So you can imagine how heavy they were. But when a fiery dart would come at them, this big, heavy, wet, soggy shield would extinguish these fiery darts of the enemy. And I love, okay, so this is the biblical version of what faith is. Faith is a firm belief. Oh, sorry, this is the biblical version. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's a very difficult thing to sort of unravel. But just know that faith and hope go hand in hand. When we lose hope, what often do we lose? We lose faith. That what? God is bigger. When we lose faith, what do we lose? Hope that things can get better. Why? Because God's in charge. So we're going to see how the link of faith and hope go hand in hand. And hopefully God will shore it up so that we can be stronger in both, right? That we need both. All right, and I know I'm running out of time. So we have our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod in the gospel of peace, our shield of faith, and then our helmet of salvation. So I especially love this particular lesson that we're going to talk about, that you're going to get just a little taste now. Did you know that as a Christian, you do not have to be subject to every thought that pops in your head? When I learned that, it was like a revelation. Did you know, just like a naughty child, you can tell your thought life? No. No. I'm not going to think that. No. And turn your back on that thought. And it's how it's learning to take your thoughts captive. So we're going to learn about that and the helmet of salvation and how that. And then, last but not least, I'm going to... Last little bit is our sword of faith. So belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod in the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And then she adds the last one, which is prayer, which we're going to talk about with Noni, which is going to be awesome. So, and of course, the sword of the spirit is the word of God, which is what we take every day, what we have, which is, of course, the Bible, the word of God. And it is a powerful, powerful tool. And if you've just now started and you've never read the Word of God, I want to suggest come talk to me and I'll tell you a great little reading plan that you can do. But if you even just started with the Gospel of Mark and you read a psalm, you would be further down the road at the end of that than you would be, you know, almost with anything else, I think. So we have a powerful living word, and it's God's word. And we meditating on it and having it go deep in us is what is going to strengthen us to be able to overcome anxiety, doubt, depression, despair, fear, anger, unforgiveness, lust, apathy, and that's just to name a few, or anything that is just got its grip on you. God and his word are here. It's powerful. It's more powerful than the ways of this world. And it will encourage us and it will strengthen us. It will bring us hope and it will help us to live better lives, which is what Christ came to help us to do. So that's just a little bit of what we're going to cover this next semester. I really hope that you're going to come back every week and stand firm. And I'm going to just close this in a word of prayer that the Lord would make what we've learned today, just even one part of it, that he would take it and that it would sink deep this week and that it would help to transform the way that we live. So let's close in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we give to you this day and ourselves, and we ask that you would give us a deeper desire and a love for your word, which is going to guide us through the next 8 weeks, and for the grace of a daily space to be able to read it, to drink it in like life-giving water. And I ask, Lord, also that you would give us the grace of an open heart to be able to receive things that might be hard for us, and that we could hear your merciful, loving voice speaking through it. Lord, I ask then that you would help us to confidently, from the heart, be able to take that word and speak it out loud, speak encouraging words to our own selves that will change our atmosphere so that we can stand firm, knowing that you are there, you are with us, you are in it with us, that the devil could not discourage us or distance us from you, we pray. And when the enemy of our soul comes sneaking back in to try to discourage us, I ask that you would help us to remember that we have all that we need, that we are fully, you've given us the full armor to make us capable to withstand. And when the enemy calls us victims, when he calls us weak, we can say, not today, Satan, speak to the hand. I'm not listening. I'm a beloved child of God. He is with me 100%, and he has geared me up to be able to withstand whatever it is that he throws at us. Lord, thank you so much that you love us this much and that you are excited to go with us on this journey so that we can be fully powered, fully empowered by you. Because you say that without a vision, the people perish. You give us such a beautiful vision and knowledge in this word so that then we can take it and run with it. Thank you, Lord. Help us to do that, we pray. In the powerful and mighty name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.